the return to Jerusalem. Now, the people of Judah sinned, and so they had to go into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that the word of God by the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, and he made a proclamation throughout all his empire, and said, "This is what the king of Persia says, the God of heaven has ordered me to build him a temple at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you who are of his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem and build the temple of the Lord God of Israel in Jerusalem. And whoever goes up there, may he be assisted with silver and gold and with offerings for the house of God in Jerusalem." Now, this was amazing, because why should a great king allow some of his people to go and rebuild a city, Jerusalem, and to build a temple there for their God? Now, clearly, the hand of God put into that great man's mind to do this for the sake of his people. All because God had said in the prophets, in the prophet Jeremiah, that this is what would happen. And so in the prophets, it also says that Jesus will come back and the kingdom of God will be established on the earth, and that will all come true just as certainly. As God wants us to do something, he will somehow make it possible. So some of the chief of the leaders of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, with all those whose spirits or hearts God had touched, went to Jerusalem to build the temple. And the people around them gave them silver, gold, and animals for sacrifice. And Cyrus the king brought out the vessels of the temple of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken away from Jerusalem, and he gave them to them to take them back from Babylon to Jerusalem. 2 years after they arrived, they started building the house of God, or rebuilding the temple. But their enemies troubled the people and made all sorts of problems against them. And in fact, they had to stop working until the reign of Darius. But Darius the king made a decree saying that no one was allowed to stop the temple being rebuilt. And the elders of the Jews built it and finished the temple. And the house was finished finally in the sixth year of King Darius. So just shows that when you've got everyone against you, God will somehow make the work of his house, his work, will work out.
It must have been a relief when they put the last block onto the whole temple.
It must have been, yeah, that's absolutely right. And they must have really sensed God working with them. And if you do something for God, you'll feel God working with you too.
It must be lots of blocks for them. And King, before he said it, said, "Uh-oh, King's starting to say it. We must build it very fast."
Well, they should have worked fast, yes. But all the time they had people trying to stop them and things that went wrong. After these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, there was a Jew called Nehemiah. And one day he was in the palace at Shushan when some men from Judah arrived, led by his relative Hanani. And they gave Nehemiah news about what was going on in Jerusalem. And they told him, "Things are in a terrible condition back there. Although the temple has been rebuilt, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are burned with fire and the people are so discouraged." When Nehemiah heard this, he wept, he cried for some days and fasted, praying to God that the sins of his people might be forgiven and asking that he somehow could do something to help them. Now, when we hear that other people have maybe weak in faith, or when we hear that there's bad things happening to those of God's people, this should really touch us. And Nehemiah didn't just shrug from his comfortable place where he was, but he really cried. It really, really upset him that that was how it was with the things of God and God's house. Now, we are the temple of God. We don't have a temple of physical stones these days, but the ecclesia, the church, the group of believers, we are God's temple. So, Nehemiah, when he was offering wine to the king, could not conceal his sorrow. Everyone was always supposed to be happy and positive in the king's presence, but Nehemiah just couldn't stop himself from being sad. And so the king noticed and he asked him, "Why are you looking so sad?" Nehemiah was very frightened because the king could just get his head cut off just for upsetting him.
As easy as pulling Lego blocks apart.
That's right, easy as that. So Nehemiah was frightened and he said, "May the king live forever. Well, of course I'm grieving because my home city, Jerusalem, where my ancestors are buried, is waste and its gates are burnt with fire." "What are you asking for?" asked the king. In that moment, Nehemiah prayed to God. So you can pray to God with your eyes open and just in a moment. That's what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah said, "If it pleases the king and if I've found grace before you, please send me to Judah and to the city of Jerusalem where my ancestors are buried, that I may rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting by his side, asked, "How long will your journey be, and when will you come back?"
Now, I wonder if that queen was Esther.
Well, we do wonder, don't we? Seeing that the king was willing to let him go, Nehemiah gave a date for when he would come back, and he asked for letters for safekeeping to the various governors on the other side of the Euphrates River so that they would let him travel to Judah. And he asked for a letter to Asaph, who looked after the king's forest, allowing him to take timber from there to rebuild the gates and the walls. So it was a pretty dangerous journey and a very long journey that they would have made on donkey or horseback. Well, Nehemiah came to the governors on the other side of the Euphrates River and gave them the king's letters. But when Sanballat and Tobiah heard that Nehemiah had come to try to help the people of Israel, they were angry. But Nehemiah went on to Jerusalem and stayed there for 3 days and three nights.
Now, I wonder why they were angry.
Well, they didn't want Jerusalem to be rebuilt. Tobiah was an Ammonite. He was not one of the people of God, and they just didn't want to see God's work going forward. Well, Nehemiah came to Jerusalem, and he stayed there for 3 days and nights. And one of those nights, he got up with a few of his men, not telling anyone of his plans, and he rode on a donkey and looked around the city. He went out by the valley gate to the Dragon Well, and looked at the broken walls and the burnt gates of Jerusalem. When he got to one point, there was no room for the donkey to go on. There was so much rubble and rubbish, broken rocks and stones lying in his way. So in the darkness, he went by the brook, the little river, looked at that part of the wall and looked at another part of the wall. The next day, Nehemiah went to the priests and the rulers, and he said to them, "You see what a bad state Jerusalem is in, and the gates of the city are burnt up. Let's build the wall." He told them of how God had spoken with him and encouraged him, and of the king's encouragement to him. And they all said, "Let us arise and build." So straight away they started. When Sanballat and Tobiah the Ammonite and Geshem the Arab heard what was going on, they laughed at Nehemiah and said, "Why are you rebelling against the king?" Nehemiah replied to them, "The God of heaven will bless us, and therefore we, his servants, are going to build this wall." So they shared out the work. There were goldsmiths and people who were chemists who didn't normally do work with their hands. They worked. There were women who worked. There were poor people who worked. There were rich people who worked. When Sanballat and Tobiah the Arabians heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being built and all the gaps in them were being stopped up, they decided to fight against Jerusalem. So when Nehemiah heard that, he set some of the men and women, to be a watch by night and day. Half of his men worked on building the wall, and the other half stood armed with spears and shields and bows. Even the builders had swords next to them. There was a trumpeter, a man who blew a trumpet, who stood next to Nehemiah, and he gave his orders to the nobles and rulers. The work was very scattered, and the people were separated from one another, and so he communicated with them by trumpet blasts that gave messages. Nehemiah worked so hard that neither he nor his servants nor his guards took off their clothes apart from for washing during the entire 52 days in which the wall was built. But finally it was finished. So it just shows that if we all work together in doing God's work, he will bless it against all opposition.